And we're back on the Weird But Harmless podcast. We got one returning guest today, Dylan Fraley. New guest, Jesse Butler, as they talk about their upcoming fight on January 19th for Friction Fighting Championship. How's it going, guys? Dylan, welcome back.
Good to see you guys.
Jesse.
Glad to be here. I'm just enjoying the room.
I see. Dylan, I'm going to have to tell him to shut up a few times. Jesse, I was like, I'm going to have to work on it. I was like, well, let me see what I can do here. Get him to talk a little more.
You can poke at me because I'm a little quiet, you know. Maybe if I'm not asked, I may not answer. You know, I may not give you some info.
That's the complete opposite of what I am.
So basically how this is going to come down to is you and Dylan, who are more extroverted, and probably me and Jesse being like, should I talk?
I wish they'd shut up like that.
I think about that all the time when you're talking, though. So...
Oh, and another thing, we're trying to keep it maybe PG-13, just so
not
we can make sure that...
Not squeaky clean, but no F-bombs.
Yeah, well, whatever they want to say.
Hold up. In the movie cinema world, you can say one F-bomb, and once it hits two, it turns to rated R. So
we got to save it.
I mean, it's got to be pretty big.
I was for sure thinking at least rated R.
Well, I mean, it's all for you. It's,
hey,
you know,
this is y'all's image.
If
our image can't go any further south.
You get a call from a family member. It's like, I heard you on that podcast, and I can't believe you said which. I don't want to hear it.
I mean, we fight, you know. So my family may not know everything that I do, but like that.
I gotta ask this because I obviously haven't fought, and I don't know how long. But I remember specifically at plenty of shows I fought on, the commission would be like, "No cussing in your music. This is a family-oriented event," and all the fighters just stopped and stared at each other, like, two guys are gonna get into a cage and beat the hell out of each other
with blood flying everywhere, people screaming, and scantily clad women in between the rounds walking around. But this is a family event. This is a family event. This is a family event.
Don't drop the F-bomb in
your
music.
I don't think I've ever heard that. I mean, music's definitely censored, like, in the Open Ages ones and not the casinos, but I don't think they've ever told specifically not to pick a song.
I don't know.
No, I've definitely heard it, but I try not to play any really with any cursing in it anyway. I mean, I don't know, there's always going to be kids there, so.
Self-censoring.
I don't really care for the cussing anyway.
Look at you.
No.
Yeah. I'm not saying I don't cuss.
You're thinking about other people besides yourself.
Right, yeah.
I got you. Yeah. I understand. I understand completely.
So how the training camp's been going for both of y'all?
Sucks. Like when I'm leaving, I'm seeing...
No, this has been our best training camp by far, I would say, because we're in really good shape now. I mean, we're talking about 3 years of these workouts twice a day. So we're in better shape now than we've ever been, and we're just enjoying the workouts a little bit more than we used to, as where we, you know, we hate getting up and putting in the work sometimes. You know, it's not always, we're not always full of energy when we get up. So, I just think we're in the best shape of our life right now. We're going to keep getting better like we always do. So,
Well, I mean, like, it's like Jesse said before, it was, especially 3 years ago, whenever we first started doing these workouts with John, it was about surviving the morning. Like, it was like, all right, let's just survive today. And, like, this past camp, we've been able to really start testing new boundaries and pushing ourselves. And even on our recovery workouts, we're like, let's set this pace and do this, where we're just so much further ahead than we were whenever we first started on this.
So John just has to make it harder and harder now, as hard as he can.
You have no idea.
I know I don't. I don't want to have that idea either. Because I can just hear how it goes. Dylan, hurry up. That's what's going to happen.
You have no idea.
It's a lot worse than that. Probably some words I can't use. No, he doesn't. He would never be mean to y'all.
He pushes us to our best.
Yes.
Every day. And that's the biggest takeaway from this, is just like seeing the growth that we've developed in the last 3 years. And the pace we're able to put out now versus where we were is just incredible.
Dylan, what is special about this fight? Something special.
Bombshell.
Pro debut.
You look very happy about that.
I'm super pumped. I mean, it's been 9 fights in the making, and it's time to go see.
Is there... Okay, obviously you won't know until after the fight, but what's the difference between that, preparing for an amateur fight and now you're preparing for a professional fight? Is there any difference? Has there any been any change in your workouts or anything like that?
Honestly not. I mean, like, since the very beginning, John's had me train in 5-minute rounds with Jesse. And I mean, occasionally for my amateur fights, it will be 3-minute sprint rounds, like leading up to the end of the fight camp, putting out maximum volume for 3 minutes. But pretty much the entire camp, it's always been 5-minute training sessions. So I really don't feel like a whole lot's changed.
But I guess maybe afterwards when you finally – who are you fighting, if you can tell me? What do you know about him?
Royce Arabia.
Is there anything special about him? Anything?
He's the number one ranked amateur in the nation. I mean, that's pretty special, I guess. He's 12-1, is a really good record. And we're actually supposed to fight this past summer for the FFC2 tournament, but he pulled out midway through the tournament due to an injury, so got a little postponed. We were supposed to fight again as amateurs. That got pushed back, so now we're both getting to make our pro debut and knock away the amateur records.
Is he a Thai boxer or boxer, jiu-jitsu guy?
He's grappler heavy. Wrestler, closes the distance. I mean, he really fights a lot. Like, we have very, very similar styles from everything I've seen and everything he showed.
Is he ranked? Is he purple belt, brown belt, something, anything like that?
You know, I'm not really sure. I don't think I've ever seen him in the gi. Yeah.
Are you giggling at over there, Tim?
I mean, it was just funny because I can kind of tell who had fight game is. Sometimes you just stuck in there. You don't know who you in there with.
Well, you had a chance to fight him, but so it didn't. It fell through.
Yeah, it fell through.
It was supposed to happen like immediately, but yeah. Some other guy was supposed to come in.
Yes. Well, it was. There were 6 of us in the tournament. Me, him, and DJ Duel made it to the finales. I caught the bye, and he beat DJ Duel in a very close split decision.
I remember that. It was like
the crowd was displeased.
It felt like the right decision to me,
yeah,
personally.
Well, I mean, I'm not a judge, so it's not really my spot to say, but it was a close fight, and he suffered an injury due to that fight. So that's what pulled me. That's what pulled our paths apart.
Jesse, since we let Dylan talk his butt off, who are you fighting this weekend?
I'm fighting Michael McDonald.
Michael? Okay. His name really is Michael McDonald?
Yeah, Michael McDonald.
Okay, I thought for a second there, I was like, is he messing with me, saying he's fighting the Bellator champion or whatever he is?
Yeah, and he actually fought, Michael McDonald fought in the UFC, I believe.
Really?
Not this one, but the Michael McDonald.
Yeah, okay, this is not the, yeah. This is just Michael
He fought
McDonald.
In Bellator and the UFC.
So,
you're not fighting that guy.
No.
Okay.
But they have the same name.
Okay. This Michael McDonald, no offense to him.
Yeah.
I didn't say that. Jesse said that, but you're fighting him, so y'all can figure it out there.
Yeah.
If he listens to this. If he doesn't listen, whatever. Anyways, what's his record? What do you know about him?
He's 5-3. All of his pro fights have been tough. He's had 2 pro boxing fights. He lost both of those, but he can box. He's a brown belt, so he's got slick jiu-jitsu. He teaches a jiu-jitsu class down at a school. Down south somewhere. So stylistically, we are very similar.
Yeah,
you know, we kind of fight alike. He's tough. He had a bare knuckle fight with the felon, Charles the Felon, Crazy Horse. Thank you, Dylan.
Crazy Horse.
Isn't it Bennett or Barnett?
Bennett. Or yeah, Bennett. And he beat him. This was a couple months ago, and I was impressed with that. You know, Charles the Felon's got a lot of fights.
Is he a felon?
Yeah. Yeah, he is. He's crazy.
What'd he do?
You've seen him. You ought to pull a picture of him. Pull a picture of him.
Can you do that while you're doing that, Tim?
Not while I'm doing that.
But he's had some crazy fights. And
I'm curious of what he did.
You've seen this guy.
Okay. Well, what'd he do?
I don't know.
What he alleged. Well, if he's a convicted felon, then he did do it.
He's just crazy. He's had some crazy fights. He's always doing crazy things at the weigh-ins. Like, he's a character.
Oh.
So anyway, Michael McDonald beat him in the bare knuckle fight. It was cool. I watched it.
Was that the one they had in like Biloxi not too long
ago?
Yeah.
Would either one of y'all ever do that?
I mean, I will. I heard the pay's pretty good.
Yeah. There was one of the fighters that's on the Brandon Martin, who's on the card. He fought that, didn't he?
Yeah. In Biloxi.
What happened with that fight?
He lost.
He got KO'd or TKO'd, I believe.
Well, I mean, just getting in there, dude, is just that's just
that's
tough.
Crazy. Yeah, I mean, getting cut. You know that you're getting cut most likely.
Yeah,
you're getting cut open with a fist. So that's a different aspect.
That's one thing a lot of people don't know is the gloves that you see, the 4-ounce gloves. They're not protecting the fighter's face by any means. No. They're kind of protecting the fighter's hand.
It's just less cuts and protecting the hands. You don't want to break the knuckles, but still, the glove is not.
Yeah,
it's not much.
So this guy's he's a brown belt. Do you know how long he's been a brown belt? Any chance?
I don't know. I knew it one time. Like I kind of put the timeline together. I look at stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know, I get pretty deep with it. So I don't know.
I think, and it's gonna pertain to him being a brown belt. Probably the fight I thought where you looked the best in, personally, is a fight that you actually lost.
Mm.
Was against that guy, that short guy that was a black belt.
Levi Miles.
Because you could tell that he was a black belt.
Yeah.
But I could just tell that he was giving everything to catch you.
Yeah.
And he couldn't catch you. And I was impressed with that.
I had trouble trying to escape the mount. And his mount was impressive. He's one of the top fighters in the nation, not in the UFC. So, I'm not pleased with that. You know, that was 1 year ago from today.
Yeah.
I think it was like last year at the same time. So I know how much better I've gotten since then.
Yeah.
But yeah, Levi is a stud.
But, you know, you see somebody who's a black belt, and when you think, well, okay, he's going against a guy and you were a purple belt at the time, you know, He should just walk straight through you, and he didn't. Now, it was a tough fight, but I felt like he just couldn't. Maybe he wasn't quite good enough to finish you, and that was what impressed me with you more.
Yeah,
than
I mean, I'm strong, you know. Like,
you okay, Dylan? Go ahead.
He had some fights at 135, and I'm pretty strong, so it's going to be hard to submit a strong guy, even though he was technically better than me. I mean, you still have enough to where I'm fighting you off. So,
yeah.
You know, there's still that aspect of it that's different than the jiu-jitsu. You know, it's still a fight in there. So,
what was the stand-up like?
Oh, his stand-up was good. He hit me clean with a couple shots, but it was a good fight.
Which I guess you could say you probably learned a lot from that one. That was probably the best learning experience you've had.
You go three rounds. You fight 15 minutes, and you learn. It's like you get a dictionary when you leave the fights that night versus, you know, 3 months of training. A fight feels like 3 months of training.
Yeah.
You learn that much, so.
There was, I can remember I was at cage side of your last fight. What was that guy's name that you were fighting against?
Anthony Reddick.
I was kind of worried at first because his coach was speaking with a Dutch
dude,
accent.
He was so annoying.
He was like, okay, these are good.
Yeah, he was maybe so annoying.
That's Brazilian. What am I doing here? But he had a Dutch accent. I was like, well, maybe this guy's like a Dutch kickboxer, and like, I hope Dylan gets this to the ground.
It was kind of intimidating.
Yeah, because he seemed like his...
He never shut up either.
The coach never shut up?
He never shut up.
His coach never shut up.
He kept saying, like, he doesn't want it right there.
He was like giving his fighter points, like kind of letting the
rest. 2 points. Like,
yeah.
That's 3 points right there.
No points.
I just remember, like, he just was, the whole time he was standing, he was like, okay, this is good, 2 points.
Yeah.
As soon as he goes to the ground, he's like, oh, shit, get it. Stand up.
He was long. I had trouble that first round. Just trying to find something. I didn't really want to, it was hard to open up, you know.
That's one of the first times I saw someone who maybe outranged you a little bit.
Yeah, that's uncommon, especially at featherweight. So,
What did you catch him with? Take him to the ground.
Guillotine.
Double leg. What'd you do to him?
We clinched up. I put him against the cage, and then I finished a double leg. I think.
Okay, I should know. I was literally right there.
I didn't want to shoot too early. Like in the whole first round, I just didn't feel like I.
He was probably waiting on it, maybe. Just thinking about that you were going to do that.
He was sitting back loaded. He hit me with a right hand, like, at the end of the round that stunned me. It hit my neck, but.
Okay, how many times, because most people who fight tell me that usually you don't feel much, but every now and then there's something that, like, that hurt.
No,
like,
yeah.
Even with all the adrenaline, it's like
when
that,
I was
that
an
hurt.
Amateur, a lot of the times I didn't feel it because I was blacked out. Like, I didn't even know I was fighting. But now as a pro, yeah, I feel everything. I'm so much more dialed in on what's going on. I feel way more. You know, I feel these shots or I feel something happened. I feel pain during the fight, but that's just because my head's in it a little more than it used to be. You know, I'm deeper now, so.
Just the experience, just you can't, yeah. You can't put anything. How many amateur fights did you have?
16.
Jeez. What was your record in amateur?
13-3. I was 2-3.
Really?
Yeah, I was 2-3, crying in the locker room, man. I had a couple fights at lightweight, and I was like, this isn't for me. I'm going to move back down to featherweight. Cried for, you know, just like, man, I know I'm better than this. What's wrong?
Right.
And at that point, I made the decision. Like, I can remember that night being like, all right, I'm 2-3. And those things weigh on me a lot, like those numbers, 2-3. Like,
yeah.
I think everybody I see in public knows my record, and that's selfish.
Yeah.
But that's the way that's the way I think. So I made the decision. I was like, I know I can do this. Like, I can figure this out. And
I think as a football coach, I think it's either Bill Parcells, but you are what your record is.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. Yeah. People say that's like, and that's, I can see where he's like, man, you want to be in the plus, you know, that just,
man.
Especially if you're just a competitive
fighting,
person.
Like, oh, he didn't win that fight.
Yeah.
You know, so as a, like, I have a burning desire.
Manly man.
To fight. Yeah. Like, I want to be a fighter. So.
Yeah. So you had to get the record.
I had to do it. So I went 13-3. I was the number one amateur in the Southeast region. And Dylan got that. Dylan was the number one amateur in the Southeast region. That was pretty cool.
Both of you had it. I think I asked Dylan this last time, but what got you to fighting? What got you? I said, what made Dylan last time he was on? But what got you here? Where did this all start?
So I played baseball in high school. I'm super competitive. I love to compete. I played baseball in high school at Claiborne Christian, and I was going to move off to play college baseball. I had some offers to play LSUS, Shreveport, LSUA, Alexandria, LC, a couple different schools, just locally smaller schools, but I knew I wanted to play baseball. Well, right before I was going to move off, it just like hit me. Like, I didn't want to move. I was scared to leave home. I, you know, grew up close with my parents, my brother at home, so I ended up staying. And I was like, I got to find something to do if I'm going to stay home. I can't just go to college. Like, college already bored me enough. I didn't want to go to school. So, walked into an MMA school, Evolution at the time, and got to fighting. I hated, like, the first couple months because I just was getting my butt kicked.
Yeah.
I was a little kid, man. I was 18 years old. And
it's easy to forget that, what it feels like. You don't feel like someone comes to jiu-jitsu and they're just getting ragdolled. You just, I can't find that I can remember what that felt like anymore. Like what are they feeling like? You know, and
it sucks.
Yeah.
And that's why I kept going back. I was like, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I want to keep getting better and I feel good when I do it.
Yeah.
So I just stuck with it, man. I guess I enjoyed the pain kind of.
Savage.
Yeah, I'm a savage.
But, so you get there and you get started. What did you start training in first? Boxing, kickboxing?
Man, we just fought. You know, we got in shape and we fought every day. Tuesdays, Thursdays, we grappled and sparred. You know, we learned a little bit here and there, like, to get us by. We did a lot of cardio. You know, we got in shape. And we just fought every day. And I grew a lot having to just fight, you know, for most of my amateur career. I was fighting. I was dabbling a little in, like, jiu-jitsu here and there. And Shotokan, I learned a little karate. It helped with my kicks. And
would it be fair to say that you were more of a kickboxer at first?
Yeah. I didn't even know jiu-jitsu. I was submitting people in fights because they were that bad.
Like, yeah.
There's no way I was good.
You just had just backyard wrestling you were just doing.
Yeah, I just
doing
learned some submissions. So, I was there for, like, my whole amateur career. So I went 13-3 there, and then I moved to American Top Team in South Florida. I trained there for about 6 months to 8 months, something like that.
What made you move there?
I was just like, hey, I'm going to go train at the best school in the world, American Top Team. You know, that's what I thought at the time. But, you know, it was promoted best school in the world. Dustin Poirier trained there. I looked up to him. You know, he's a Louisiana fighter in the UFC. And Matt Schnell, he is in the UFC also right now. And he went to American Top Team. So I just looked up to those guys, and Matt kind of invited me out there, like, hey, you need to come train out here. And it just got me motivated. So I was out there, and, you know, I was training hard out there. I had my first pro fight while I was out there. I came back home and fought. And
Did you fight under them? Did you fight under American Top Team?
Yeah, I guess it was. I was American Top Team at the time. That was one fight. So I moved back home, and then that's when I was like, Blunchy, what's up?
What's up, Blunchy?
Yeah, and Cron Gracie ever since. It's like it.
Feel like a glove, huh?
Feel like a glove.
Finally.
I needed that. I needed Blunchy in my life.
Oh, so before we get to Blunchy, So you're American Top Team. You trained for a while. How'd you do in that for your first fight? First pro fight.
First round triangle.
You won by first round triangle?
Yeah, but like I was standing, we were standing up fighting, and I think he like took me down against the cage. I just slapped a triangle up real quick.
Did you learn what? Who did you learn jiu-jitsu from down there?
I can't remember his name. He's a Brazilian black belt. I hate that I can't remember his name, but, you know, I wasn't that close with those people. It was like, you know, like structured classes, big gym, hundreds of fighters. It's like a meat lab, you know.
Yeah.
It's freaking crazy.
It's not very personal.
No. I didn't enjoy it. It's not my style.
And you probably coming from a, I guess, a family oriented background, you're like,
small family, close, you know. I've never been anywhere in my life. Moving away from home and training out there was the weirdest part of my life, you know. That was crazy. I was 18 hours from home, the only place I'd never even flown on a plane, and I went there. So, like, going home was impossible. Once I was like, I'm stuck.
Yeah.
You know? I can't go home if something happens. My brother was back home, and we're super close, so it just sucked.
So you get back to West Monroe, and you're thinking, like, okay, where's this taking
like,
me? Where
am I even going to be a fighter anymore? Like, how am I going to do this? Like, I need a job. I ain't got any money. Yeah.
Just got to figure it out.
So, Brantley calls me while I'm still in South Florida. We didn't even know each other at the time. Like, me and Brantley weren't close. He just knew I was a fighter. We had seen each other. Like, what's up? He knew of me. He calls me when I guess he called me. He's like, hey, you need a job when you get here? I'm like, what? I don't know how to work. Like, not like I know how to physically do labor. He's like, I want you to come be a salesman. So in my mind, I'm like thinking I got a tuxedo on. I'm freaking selling something. Like, I don't do this. I fight. And he's like, come see me when you get here. I'm like, whatever. So I get back home and I go meet with Brantley, and he gives me a job. And I've been a salesman up there 3 years, and it's been awesome.
Did you finally get to wear your tuxedo?
No, I don't wear no tuxedo, man. I wear cool clothes.
Okay, so no tuxedo.
No.
But so Brantley College, you come, you get a job, and I'm guessing, you know, he introduced you this, through all that. That's how you get to John, I guess, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I mean, I knew of Blunchy. I would come up there and train. I would be like, so this is when I was here training at an MMA school before I went to American Top Team. I was an amateur. I would message Blunchy and be like, hey, I want some work. Like, give me some jiu-jitsu. And he'd be like, come up here and train with JB today at 3:30. And I'm like, all right, yeah, I'm going to go up there and show him what's up. JB would just freaking wreck me. Dude, they'd put a timer on for 45 minutes, and John would let JB just destroy me. And I can look back and just tell at the time, it's like John was sitting there like, he's going to learn that he needs to come train here. Like, you know, that's what I'm thinking. So
I thought you'd never come back. He's like, he ain't coming back.
Yeah. So I was like, you know, I don't know. That something weird's going on. They know something that's weird, because, I mean, he felt like, I mean, just imagine at the time I didn't know anything. I was just getting wrecked, and I thought I knew everything.
Yeah.
And
open so your eyes a little bit, huh?
That's how I knew Blunchy, and I knew that I was going to train with him when I moved back home. You know, that was the plan.
So, what was the first training camp like with John?
The first training camp was actually not a training camp. I don't know what was going on. I was young still at the time. I come in the school. I was just taking the jiu-jitsu class. I wasn't doing any extra work. I wasn't training any stand-up, really. And I had a fight with Brandon Shavers at lightweight. He elbowed me against cage, cut me, TKO'd me. I was bleeding. Worst night of my life, probably.
Yeah.
I was so upset, man. I was supposed to fight at featherweight, moved up to lightweight to fight him. He now fights at welterweight. So he is a freaking giant anyway. I mean, he's a specimen.
And, he's like 6'4", but he doesn't weigh that much.
Yeah. Freak.
Just like I think he's won every fight by elbows, too. I mean, at least the last time I saw him.
His first, couple of pro fights, he won by those elbows.
He's a very long guy.
Super long. Hard to deal with. Hard to take down. He looks like a linebacker, you know. I call him a linebacker.
Just long and lanky, man.
Worst night of my life. Blunchy told me. He was like, we got to change that. He knew at the time, like, okay, he wants to be a fighter. You know, I guess I kind of let him know, like, this is what we're going to do. Like, I need this. So he put me on a schedule after that, man. And it's been 2-a-days since then, off and on, you know. So that's coming up on close to 3 years now of 2-a-days. His workouts in the morning, you know, whether it's sparring or weights or running or the Airdyne bikes, and jiu-jitsu at night.
So one day you're just working out, and all of a sudden this, you know, guy, he's about 5'8", shaved head, has a blue belt on. He said he trained out in, you know, Arizona or somewhere like that. He comes in, he's like, hey, man.
It was El Paso, wasn't it?
El Paso. And he goes, I want to start training in MMA and take my game to the next level. And this guy was Dylan Fraley. What did you think when he first got there?
I can remember the first couple of days of Dylan. Like, I didn't really know who this kid was. I knew he was tough. But in the parking lot one night, I got his number for something. I don't know why. I was like, maybe we were, like, talking about getting some extra training in. And I saved his name as Dylan BJJ in my phone because I didn't know his last name. And I was like, this kid's, like, wanting to train, whatever.
He'll be gone in a month.
Yeah, who knows? Like, I didn't even really know him at the time, but. And he's, you know, one of my best friends. We work so hard together, just countless hours of pain. You know, every morning we see each other before the sun comes up. we're hitting it hard as hell. So we've sparred countless hours. We've gotten into fights. We've yelled at each other. But
well, okay, hold on. What was the worst fight y'all had?
Just the other day. That's why it's heavy on my heart right now. We've talked about it a couple times since.
Uh oh, is everyone okay?
Yeah.
Did we not need to have y'all next to each other right now?
That was Monday.
We're closer than ever now.
You know, it's amazing how that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was Monday. Dylan's been sick.
Oh, Dylan's been sick. You know, one
I'm sure he really wanted to admit that on the podcast with all six people watching. I mean, that's going to go viral now. It's going to be all
Roy
across the world.
That, Roy, if Dylan fought you sick, he would beat you. So,
ooh,
if he hears it.
Ooh.
So what?
Dylan didn't say that, though. Dylan's over there just being all happy. Shit.
He was thinking it.
Oh, all right. So y'all get in this fight, but then y'all get even closer. Me and Tim actually had a similar thing when we lived in college. Like, it was like six of us all living in this huge house.
Which, by the way, I would like to say this. When we were forced to read Lord of the Flies senior year, and I didn't appreciate or understand the book, but then I lived with five other dudes, and it don't matter how big a house is, you're living with five other people, five other high-protein diet dudes. It's just madness. And then I finally understood, man, Lord of the Flies makes a lot of fucking sense. And I dropped the F-bomb, and I'm sorry.
That's all right. So, I think me and Tim never really had any. Everyone else at one point had a problem with someone else for some reason, but me and Tim never had that problem. And it's because like the mats underneath the garage, I had those in that garage there, and we would just go and we'd just fight each other and do jiu-jitsu and kickboxing. And afterwards, you sit down and listen to music and, you know, shoot the shit with each other. And it seemed like that. If he had pissed me off or I'd pissed him off. He had his chance to punch me in the face, and it was over. We didn't have
fighting
to
gets
back.
That all out of the way.
Yeah, I think it does. I think a lot of people will tend to be more more violent than what they would if they could just get out some of their aggression early whenever it's not so festered up.
There are so many things during the day that me and Dylan talk about this all the time. We just don't care about because we fight every morning and every night. You know, we wake up, we do a hard workout, whether it's jiu-jitsu, striking, weights, running. We do a hard workout, like exhaustion to exhaustion. So there's just little things that we don't care about. So, like, you don't want to fight as much. You're mellow. You got to go train later, so you got to hold everything in. So,
and it probably helps that you know if you've never trained jiu-jitsu or you've never done any kind of kickboxing, you kind of don't know what you're capable of or not capable of, and you've never had someone just wear your ass out and just make you realize, like, this dude could kill me if he wants to. I got to do something about it.
Yeah, I mean, you're walking around on the streets. Most people don't know anything at all.
Yeah.
But they think they do. You know, when I was younger, I thought I could just beat anybody. You have a feeling like when you're becoming a man, you got testosterone, you're like, I could just kill that dude. Like, no, you couldn't. You don't know anything.
You know, I felt like I would have felt like that, but I had my older brother to deal with.
Yeah, I didn't.
So I knew that from the very beginning that I could have my ass whipped.
Right.
But as I got older, I realized, like, if I can go against him, ain't no one that can intimidate me.
Right, and that's right. Just, got that older brother.
Just, like, just mean and aggressive. But we all were. Like, I was like that Sammer. And
yeah.
We were like that. And my
that's
little,
how it should be.
And my little sister, she ain't going to take anyone's crap because she had to deal with all of us.
Yeah.
But from an early age, I knew what it was like for someone who just drag your head in the concrete. It's like.
His sister's the meanest one out of all of them, by the way.
Yeah, three older brothers.
Three older brothers.
She's brutal.
But it also made me realize, like, these people who are posthumous, like, you can act tough all you want, but I've fought people a lot tougher than you. You ain't scaring me. No. You know? But let's see where we're at. Dylan.
Real quick, I'm going to go ahead and turn off the live. So if you're watching, thank you. But my arm is hurting. And if you want to check out the rest of it, you got to go to Podomatic and iTunes. So check us out at the Weird But Harmless Podcast. And that's Dylan, but that's Jesse. So we're done with live. That was a terrible outro, so I apologize.
That's
but
all right.
Anyway, continue.
It's all good.
First all right. time, you know, I got to try.
You got to start new things. But where's the after party at? That's what the most important thing is.
Waffle House.
Waffle House?
We were just talking about this the other day, too. It's like there's no time or anything in our head after the fight. At this point, like, I haven't seen anything about the after party. I usually never go. I shouldn't say that. It's bad promotion. But
well, you just got through with a fight,
dude. I cannot go through that. I mean, I went out once after a couple fights ago, maybe, but it's not something I want to do. I usually am like, I go get in the shower for like an hour, and then I eat, and I'm up till the sun comes up. Usually,
you stay up all night.
Yeah, I can't go to sleep. Yeah,
that adrenaline dump happens, and it's just
sucks.
Like you're tired, but you can't.
Best feeling,
do anything.
Best feeling in the world, though. You know, with the win, like because you didn't even think that there was a Sunday coming up. Like you didn't even know what date it was, really. You know, it's January 19th, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You have no tomorrow.
A lot of that promotional stuff and everything is probably it's more for the people who want to go to the fight. You probably just get tired of hearing about it. It's like, man, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. I'm tired of hearing about it.
It builds it up. So, I mean, I guess in a way it helps me. Like, I like the promotion end of it. I like seeing how it's put together, you know, especially with Blunchy doing it. It makes it fun. You know, it gives us a little something to keep us motivated, I'd say.
So how hard is Kylie working?
Kylie's working hard, yeah.
I know she... I remember one time that I didn't give the props, so I got
to
make sure.
I forgot to throw Kylie's name out there, and I was just sitting here waiting for someone to drop the K-bomb because that girl busts her ass. Her
I don't
and
even
John
know
both,
this girl, and I felt bad.
Her and John both putting these fights together. I mean, and Jesse talks about it. Like, whenever we fight for other promotions like AKA and Jesse's fault for Legacy, I mean, it's like we're kind of way on the outside, but having our promoter and teammate, or our coach and teammate as the promoters, it's like we're right there in the mix and we get to see all the stuff that goes into this. Like, it is a handful. And I don't think I ever want to be a fight promoter, Jesse, because it looks like some real work.
No, I would hate to be a fight promoter.
You know, the only people that I see who look just more done with the night than someone who lost the fight is Kylie when she's at the end. And so at the end, I'm like, oh, man.
She's got a backpack on, and she's, like, sprinting out the door.
And she don't want to hear, like, she don't want to hear you joking. She is down to business. She has just so many things. You can tell there's so many things she has to handle that it's just, it looks stressful. But, you know, at the end of the night, you realize how good of a job. And I don't know if you've been through some bad promotions, you realize, like, how bad everything can go without having someone who knows what they're doing. And I think Tim's been through a few of those bad promotions.
How many fights did you have, Tim?
Man, a lot.
Really?
Downside to me, I was never very good. I'll be the first to admit that. I had a lot of losses on my record. I was terrible. But the promotion I worked for, they hired my trainer because he was a reliable guy. They hired him to do the matchmaking and the fight cards because, you know, he tried to at least get the fairest matchups he could. You might have, Todd?
Yeah, Todd Ramsey.
Yeah, you know, and so, but Todd knew he could call me, I'd show, and if I said I was going to show up, I'd show up. There was never any doubt, so there was a lot of times.
You were the guy they called.
I was the guy they called, and there was a lot of times I showed up fighting a guy I shouldn't have been fighting. I had no one corner me, so I lost a lot more than I ever won, but I fought a lot.
It's hard.
Sometimes when the time that he had someone corner him, it wouldn't even be in corner. There was no one there. I couldn't do it because I didn't have any weight, like a pass or anything. I just remember yelling, like, close your guard, and he closed his guard like from the side. Like, I was way in the side.
You were like, points.
Do something. Your guard. He had his guard open. I was like, just close your guard so he can't.
I'd have some dude, him a little I'd bit. Have some guys cornering me from the, you know, local garage gym, and I'm like, man, I really should have said no to this.
God, between like 2008 when I started training jiu-jitsu and like 9, 10, 11, 12, it was like the Wild West of MMA in this area. There were like 6 gyms, 7 gyms.
Yeah,
some
like everybody trying to do MMA cage fighting.
Everyone.
Some guy who had a, you know, if a guy had
dude,
a black,
it was never
belt.
Back down. Yeah. Like, it's what if it was like that movie came out and
the
that
funniest
came true.
Thing was I remember because neither one of y'all trained at John's yet. Ferris had just started, but John had built up a little bit of a reputation around town. So guys would go to him, and this is back, he had just gotten that building he's in. And so guys would get their blue belt under him and then go.
Want to open a school.
Go teach with some guy who's a black belt in Taekwondo so they could say, oh, I'm a jiu-jitsu coach. And it's like, and then they'd go fight, thinking fighting and sports jiu-jitsu is the same, and it's not. And so they would lose, and then it'd just be.
I saw ass whipping there.
Oh, yeah.
Like the ugliest fights I've ever seen. Like
the thing about it is, though, and maybe y'all
were there, Dylan.
You should have been. You would have wrecked shop a lot in ring rollers, but when you were closer to like the Shreveport and the Dallas areas, you got better fights. You know, you got guys that were maybe not complete fighters, but they were. You know, they had wrestling backgrounds or jiu-jitsu or kickboxing backgrounds. But further you got,
they were at a school like in Dallas, a school that was already established.
But you fight them guys out of Mississippi. They had a Garage Incorporated MMA, and you know it's just like they out there to throw hands. And once you get past that, there's nothing left. You know, and you get them to the second round, they're out there just trying to.
2008 to like I said, 2012 is if you were a purple belt in jiu-jitsu, which is like you know pretty much intermediate rank. You could just dominate everybody. Just take them to the ground, and you know the worst part of it, you'd have to hear somebody tell you, you know, yell in the crowd like, "Punch him in the f-. What do you think I'm doing? Hold on a second,
dude." I would even go so far as to say, 5 years ago, with a little bit of jiu-jitsu, even in the UFC,
a lot of it, yeah,
you're getting a win. You know, if you're jiu-jitsu, usually whoever has the best jiu-jitsu in the fight wins. You know, it's
and now it's getting to where like everyone is. Good, and they can box.
Sure.
They can kickbox.
They got a little jiu-jitsu, a little kickboxing, a little wrestling. But that, you know, that'll catch up with you.
Yeah.
Then you're in there with a guy who is an expert in jiu-jitsu, an expert in striking.
Well, you see, a lot of people who are really good at striking is that a lot, especially if they're wrestlers, they get so good at just they realize what it could be like on the ground. They're like, and then keep you from taking them down and just beat the piss out of you.
Yeah, they'll have a couple good moves like, okay, they can double jab, get in, take you down, and they'll sit in top half guard, and that's their game. You know, if they get put on their back, they may get beat, but they have a certain series of moves that they'll do, and they'll, like, master that.
Yeah.
And once they master that, they can win a fight. They can win a decision every time.
I mean, if you look at Donald Cerrone, he's when you think of him, you think this is a kickboxer, this is an expert. How many times have he's won and won big matches on the ground?
He wins off his back a lot, yeah. He's got a good guard, and I think he gets the back a lot.
Yeah.
He's a finisher. You know, that's one thing about MMA. There are guys who can finish fights. You know, they see the finish, and they're able to take care of the fight and somehow get a, you know, almost like a highlight finish. You know, he's one of those guys.
Yeah. Well, do you think – I remember this may have been like 2010. Some guy that was – a local guy was fighting someone who was a brown belt, and it was like, whoa, he's fighting a brown belt? It's like – some kind of weird warlock was in the cage, because just the level of jiu-jitsu, just besides
– Was it a heavyweight fight?
It was a like maybe 185, something like that.
I don't know.
You know, besides John and a few other people, there wasn't any real jiu-jitsu around here, you know, or people with that high-level skill set.
The caliber of the jiu-jitsu, yeah.
It amazed me when I was fighting that how many good – wrestlers, maybe not jiu-jitsu, but just good wrestlers came out of Shreveport, and I don't know if it's still like that or not, but at least when I was fighting, you know, it was, especially around here, it was everybody had that one skill, and they were, you know, they were good at that, and they had a couple moves somewhere else that could keep them alive, but like a lot of the pure ground wrestlers came from Shreveport.
There are a lot of those guys that are good at the timing, you know, they, maybe not they're good at wrestling, but the timing of when they shoot the double leg. So, and a lot of them aren't double legs. A lot of those guys will change levels and run, you know, and almost like spear tackle. It happens a lot, and it works, you know.
I wonder
you
if
can,
it's
you can
football.
Time it to where you can do that.
I wonder if it has anything to do with a lot of people playing football around
yeah,
here.
Yeah, yeah. You know, athletic guys can do that.
Some super athletic guys. Just you
like
know.
Brandon, yeah. Dylan's little brother. He can run a double leg. He'll just take you down. They'll tackle you.
Just that strong guy.
I mean, it's a fight. That those things, those kind of things happen. You can get tackled.
what's the dumbest thing you've ever heard from the crowd?
Jesus.
Kill him.
Kill him.
I don't know. I mean, it just get there. You know, redneck city in there.
It's just some of the stuff you hear has just got to be.
It's got to be there though. You know, you got to have that vibe when you're at a.
If you don't hear like stomp him in the throat, you know, are you really fighting here?
Right, like choke him out. You know, you're not even in a position to do anything like that, and it's choke him out or something.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever had an opponent try to do on you? Or do. Weirdest thing I ever saw, it wasn't in during my fight, but I was in the crowd getting ready, and this dude tried like a double chamber Liu Kang bicycle. It didn't work, obviously, but it was just the funniest thing.
Like that one.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, whenever we're not on, I'll try to reenact it, but he tried it, and then like, because he was, I mean, it was that heavyweight, which is what made it even more funny. And so he tried it. The dude just kind of shrugged it off and threw this big overhand right and connected. And it was so funny.
I mean, you could probably get, you know, one, like a right foot and a left foot. I don't know. You'd have to be pumping your feet pretty quick to get 3 feet. I could see a boom, boom.
Ferris,
like
you're stretching right now.
I can see a Liu Kang, like a boom, like
yeah,
one foot,
two
foot,
like,
maybe two.
I feel like I could do two.
I don't think you're already falling by the time you're
yeah,
doing that.
I would try.
If someone did that, I wouldn't do anything, but I wouldn't give them anything, but I think it was cool. That's what I was.
I've actually never had any like weird, super weird things happen in a fight, I don't think.
No one ever grabbed you in weird places?
No.
No one ever tried to tickle your taint?
Maybe.
Dylan has a big smile on his face.
I had
over
someone 5 years younger than me call me boy.
Boy?
In the middle of a fight. Oh, you like that, don't you, boy? And
I just
remember having a moment where I'm like, he threw a knee, and I think it hit me in the stomach, maybe the thigh, but he got to the clinch, and he was doing a little bit of work, and he just started trash talking, like, and I guess I never really had somebody, and I've said some things in a fight before, and I've had moments where people say little things back, like whenever you have an intense moment or something, or you connect, or, but like it, we were in the middle of clinch work, and he's just like in my ear, yeah, yeah, and I remember him calling me boy, and I'm like, you're like 18, like.
I don't know. The way you described that was way more homoerotic.
That wasn't what we were going for. I guess, but
there's,
I mean,
there's a fine line, I guess, between like yeah. talking crap and then getting a little weird. Like, well, you like that? It's like,
it's oh, like, yeah.
You're talking about the punch, I guess. Yeah, so.
I just remember being so baffled. I was like, really, this is really happening right now. All right. You know who it was?
Jesse's thinking about it.
DJ Dool.
DJ, hey man,
awesome guy though.
I'm sure he's an
really
awesome guy.
But like afterwards, we talk. He's real cool. He likes that though. He likes that trash talk like style kind of. And I know before the fight, like I was super pumped up, and I don't like to shake hands a whole lot before a fight. Like I'll bow or maybe just like touch knuckles real quick. But I think he took it like super personal. So every time we clinched, he was saying some stuff, and it just blew me away.
So he goes, "You like that boy?" Okay. All right, I don't know you. I'm sure you're a nice fella. That's all I can say. But just don't say that again. I'm sure you're in the zone. You're fighting. You may not be able, you know, say things you normally say. But
I mean, he was taller than me, so maybe that gives him the right to call me boy, I guess.
Over there, Snapchatting.
Snapchatting.
Do what?
My brother.
Where's he? I saw him the other day. I didn't get a chance to train with him.
We're about to go train.
Got to go train.
About to go train.
How about that? Dylan, what's wrong with you right now?
I'm tired. It's been a
You're
long
tired?
Day. It's been a long day. I'm ready to get some sleep.
So walk-ons is where the
weigh-ins
and everything are at.
Fighter meet and greet.
Yeah, walk-ons at 5.
Have you been? Has any kid come up to either one of y'all and asked for y'all's autograph?
We signed a poster the other day.
Okay.
There's your answer.
I was expecting a little bit more, and I was wrong. I'm sorry.
Well, so,
you know, nobody, they may like see us, but it's not, you know, we're not like on TV or nothing. So
speaking of that, were you involved with the, what's that stupid cage?
That was right before my time like that. I think they were like putting it on TV as I just started training. So like I got to watch it. I was like,
yeah,
wow, this is nuts. Like we have, I have a chance to be on this show. What?
Who was the guy that was really good that ended up?
Matt Schnell,
is that who
he's
was?
The one who moved to top team and like he was like, dude, come out here and train. He's from Shreveport. Yeah.
What's the other guy?
He's
There's another guy. He hadn't made it to the UFC yet, but he's actually, what was it, Tony?
Tony Kelly.
Yeah. He
had surgery, but he is training again. Yeah,
yeah
he's a monster.
Yeah, he's done pretty. He hadn't made it to the UFC yet, but
he's
been on some other like,
bantamweight.
Kind of,
yeah. Legacy. He had some really big fights with Legacy. Yeah.
There was a UFC fighter, a current one, that Mike Braswell fought. Is that? That's not Schnell, is it?
Braswell didn't fight Schnell, but...
There's some UFC fighter, because I remember him talking about it, that he fought some guy that's in the UFC currently. Maybe I'm wrong. Anyways, week out from the fight. How are y'all feeling?
I feel great. You know, we just came back from L.A. We were out there training with Cron and his guys for a week. You know, the time has added up. We've been training for a long time. We've been training hard for a long time now. And I'm not talking about just this camp or this fight. Like, I'm super dialed into this fight. I'm super focused. But this is more than just a fight. You know, we're training for a long time. I'm putting a lot of years into this.
Yeah.
Like, I plan on having some big fights. Like, I'm gonna have some big fights. So.
How long were you out there?
We were out there a week.
That's why he just said we were out there a week.
Did he say out there a week? Okay, yes. My bad. I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
It's fine. It's fine.
Thanks, Tim. Anyways, like I was saying, so you were out there 1 week. Where's this place at in California?
Culver City. It's like right outside of Los Angeles. It's Los Angeles.
So what's it like going from, you know, you are obviously in Miami at ATT and you know, I went to LA. What's it like? Because you can train at John's here. There's not a lot of distractions outside, you know. You can pretty much go train and go home, and that's really all there is to do. You can go to a bar, but, you know, you go to L.A., you go to Miami, and there's distractions everywhere.
There's a lot of money to spend. You know, when we go, I spend so much money, so it's It's costly out there. But yeah, there's a lot more to do. So respect for those guys that train hard out
there. Just gotta be more well, maybe they don't have to be so. They're used to it.
It's home to them.
It's no different. Like they probably come here and they're like, "This is so boring."
Yeah, I can't. I cannot imagine.
We live here. We
West Monroe, Louisiana. Like, I mean, it's a little country town. So
I'd say the best thing about there, and I don't know so much about the distractions because me or Jesse, we're not like. I mean, you asked us earlier about the after party. Like, we're not bar guys. Like,
yeah.
We don't really go out, like, to party or anything like that. But what was awesome there was the access we had to, like, to Whole Foods and to organic,
healthy foods.
Yeah, organic tea places. And, like, man, there was just all kinds of, like, awesome health food shops around every corner. And, like, compared to here, it's like we've got...
Fast food, chicken,
yeah,
fried
We've got two health food stores in all of West Monroe and Monroe. And
King cakes.
Everything is fried.
Liquor.
Yeah.
There's some things I found out that are fried that I was like... Somebody told me about fried Oreos. I'd never heard that. And I was like, you can
It's one of the best things you've ever eaten in your life, by the way. Fried Oreo? Have you ever tried one?
Apparently not, because I didn't... Oh, up until about 2 weeks ago, I didn't...
You would not believe who put me on to fried Oreos.
Who?
John Blunchy.
Fried... Really?
We were at the dragon boat races, like, doing the dragon boat race, and he's like, you got to get a fried Oreo. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, why are you telling me this? But, dude, they're good. But I've only eaten one in my whole life. So.
Have you ever tried a fried Snickers bar?
I have not.
Oh, God.
I was actually working for Brantley with Chase Henry, like, maybe about 2 years ago. We were doing, not salesman, what is it, marketing? Whenever we have the show up, and we're working at the fair. Yeah, the home shows. And Chase Henry introduced me to a whole thing of fried Oreos. It was out of control. It was ridiculous.
That's why we're obese.
So you're out there, and obviously you're going to get more out of doing jiu-jitsu with those guys out there than you are when you're doing, when you're rolling with me. So yeah, so you're having all these great guys. Like, did you notice a difference? Just like, first of all, when you went there, you know, a lot of times at school, you kind of get used to how everyone rolls because you go with them so much. You know how everything is. Then you go there. Not only do you not used to them, but they're just they're higher. They're better than me. They're better than a lot of other people just because they've trained longer. They have access to Crone directly. You know, what do you feel?
Yeah, there's just more high level guys out there. So that's why, you know, there's just more people. So
yeah.
You've got guys that are training under Crone, which is better than what we had. You know. The best are feeding off the best. Everybody's getting better. So there's so many guys there that are good. You know, they have their own style of things. Not that it's much different than ours, but there are things you can see when you're there that they do more than we do, you know, something like that. So
yeah.
We spent a lot of time with Crone. You know, it was the week right after Christmas. So the school was closed.
Yeah.
And Crone, you know, he's getting ready for his UFC fight. His UFC debut is February 17th. And
were y'all out there with the Diaz brothers?
In Phoenix, Arizona. Nate went the week after us.
He went the week after y'all?
Yeah.
Do they have their own school?
They do.
They do have their own school?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Diaz brothers are in San Francisco, though, aren't they?
Yeah, it's Nick's Academy in San Francisco. I'm sorry, Stockton.
Bay Area.
Stockton. You got to get that right. Stockton. It's not...
Yeah.
Stockton's in the Bay Area, not Los Angeles?
It's Bay Area.
That's something I didn't know. That's very rare that I wouldn't know that.
Or let me, hold up. I think it's a little south, but it's not Los Angeles.
Were there any kickboxing guys or anything like that out there that you were able to go with? Like people who were, I don't know, maybe what's the K-1 guys, anything like that? Or?
Not this trip. Crone had some box. Crone had a UFC fighter come in that he sparred a couple times, and we had a couple other guys come in and spar, but, man, just high level. We got a lot of sparring rounds in when we were out there.
I'm going to correct myself. Stockton it's closer to San Francisco than it is. I'm going to show it to you on maps, but it's close. It's like maybe an hour outside of the Bay Area.
Yeah, I trained there at Nick's Academy a couple months ago.
Did you? Yeah. How was that?
It was cool. We did Stockton, and then we went to San Francisco and trained at Gilbert Melendez School.
Did you get a Stockton tattoo while you were there?
No, but I got Stockton slapped.
You got Stockton slapped?
Not just guillotines by Nate.
Okay. How tight are those guillotines?
Like, they were. It was for real.
Really?
Yeah.
God, I know. What you, Dylan? How'd you feel out there?
Oh man, it was great. It was so great. I mean, it was such a crazy opportunity to go out there and get on his schedule and see how Krohn lives and how he trains. And man, it's like we talk about Krohn and his jiu-jitsu and we all know it's like next level, but his boxing, like the way he trains boxing is we're not in there barefoot with some boxing gloves on. Like he has a boxing ring with a boxing gym next to his jiu-jitsu gym and everybody's wearing shoes, wearing groin pads. Like he's working the art of boxing the way a boxer would and implementing that into his MMA. And it was really humbling to see how he approaches the game and to follow after him. And so we'll do our sparring rounds and then we'll do 10 5-minute straight just on the bag, moving from different stuff. And we finish that up and then we do our jiu-jitsu and just seeing how he has these 5-hour straight training sessions all the way through the night. Like it's wild.
We would start at 7 and we would leave the gym some nights at 2. And that's like 4 o'clock here in the morning. So yeah. Our schedule was thrown off. But I mean, we were up all night training is what it was like.
You probably got to see what it's like. I mean, yeah, I mean, fighting is y'all's life, but like it's literally been, you know, you started when 18, you're a certain age. For him, it was like the day he was.
He's like a ninja.
There. Yeah, he was ever there.
I mean, it's like he's like a real life ninja. So all day, his life is pertaining to fighting just 100%.
It's like he went through the Spartan of Gogi and just his whole mission in life is just to become a warrior.
Yeah, it's crazy to, it's unexplainable to be a part of. And like, you can't explain what it's like being around Krohn, but it's that, you know. Hicks and Gracie vibe, you know.
I was thinking about this. I've thought about it a few times, but if you go to most cities that are the size of West Monroe, Monroe, and if there is a jiu-jitsu school, it's a few guys who know some things, and you'd be lucky to get some good trains. But you come to little West Monroe, and you get high-level jiu-jitsu, which is very rare that you could do that. You have to go to big cities to find something like that.
I've been trying to tell people for the longest, we are so fortunate to have John Blunchy here in West Monroe. Like, it's crazy that we have John Blunchy in West Monroe. So, the school that he has built and what he's done, you know, there's so many high-level guys here at this school. Blunchy's done awesome.
Yeah, because, man, I remember that I want to say that originally it was in the West Monroe Rec. This is before. And then it was over here on Arkansas, and that was the first time because my older brother said, "Hey, why don't you come with me?" And I just went there, like, "Okay, I don't know anything." And it was Euron and maybe I can't remember. He's one of those brothers, and we went in there, and he's like, "Okay, mount me." He's like, "Okay, now don't let me get you off of me." I was like, "Okay." So I think I had this weird idea. I was like, "I'm gonna show him something he ain't ever seen before."
Right.
And it's just nothing happened.
There's like a hope. You hope like, "Oh, this is about to work," and it's like, dreams are crushed. Like, I cannot do anything.
And you know, he showed us one technique. You know what it was? Is the headlock where when you stand up here, and then you go underneath the back. That was the first thing I ever learned. No arm bars. That
in the standing position.
In the standing position. Yeah. That was the first thing I ever learned.
What is this?
He was like,
this isn't gonna help me.
He goes, imagine someone, his friend's coming with a baseball bat. Okay, he's like, he's dealt with this before, this scenario before. Someone was coming to hit him with a baseball bat at some point in his life, and he actually had to use this. And that was the first, like I said, no arm locks, no triangle. That was the first thing I ever learned ever. But
that's one weird thing about jiu-jitsu, like. You just start learning and you go to class. Like, in my mind, I'm thinking, what's the curriculum? Like, am I starting at the beginning? What is he teaching? Am I starting at the beginner level? But years go by and it's like, okay, every day we're just going to learn something and you got to remember it. You've got to lock it in your brain. You've got to drill it over and over. So learning how to learn was probably one of the hardest parts. Like, and you know, I'm still figuring that out. So learning how to get better, that's hard. You know, you don't know how to get better. You don't know these things. You have to learn how to learn.
I used an analogy of, they actually have this book and it has, I think it's for painters. I can't remember what it's for, but it has like starts with like white and it goes all the way to black. It has all the different colors and shades of all the different colors. It's a big, thick book like that. And if you get it and you let it go through your thumb, let it flick down, you can't quite tell where white starts turning into yellow. You can, if you stopped and open it and look, you can like, this is where it's starting to get a shade of yellow. And you keep going and keep going. You can't quite, you know that it changes, but you can't quite tell where that change occurred. And that's how I felt about jiu-jitsu. It's like, you know that you're better than where you were a year ago. But where did that transition happen? What, it's just the grinding every single day. It's like those papers falling down. It's like, it's just slowly and slowly turning into
the day they have the days have to add up, you know. Yeah. You're not going to go learn something and be better. No. It has to be months and years. So I think of it like, you know, 3 months go by, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so much better than I was 3 months ago. Look, I know so many more tools and tricks now. So I kind of break it down into every 3 months I feel like this little growth spurt. And when you fight, you go through a fight camp and you cut weight. It's like you level up almost. It's real. I mean, it feels real, don't it?
100%. And like it's one of those things. It's just like Jesse said. You can't measure this. If you flip through that book page by page, you're never gonna see that, like where the changes start happening. You have to look at it incrementally. Like where was I 3 months ago? Like what am I doing differently now in the past half year? Like you've got to look at it big picture, big chapters, and like for us fighting, like if we fight every 3 months, it's like every fight we get to look back on how we did our last fight, how we did this fight, what we did differently, what we're doing better, and even sometimes what we digressed on, because sometimes you could take steps backwards in certain directions, and it's just constantly reassessing chapters.
I'll give you an example for me at first, is that my top game became so much better than off my back. And it's because, well, that's what I just focused on. It's because that's where I was good at. But one thing I'm trying lately is, like, just try more off my back where I'm just not just trying to crush you, smash you, that kind of thing. But sometimes it gets hard. You're like, you're not doing well at it, and you want to go to what you're good at. I need to abandon this. Just let me go get a Kimura.
Yeah, like whenever Jesse kicks me in the face, I'm trying to grab him. Yeah.
Is that, I don't know if that's quite exactly.
No, I mean, it's like I really need to work on my striking, and Jesse's really good. He's way better than me, and so we'll start moving around and go some shots back and forth. But whenever he gets me good, it's like, shit, let me go back to what I'm good at. Like, it's natural, and whenever you're training, you got to fight those urges. Like you said, if you feel really good from the top, like, and then you're like, all right, let me work on my bottom. You go the bottom. This guy passes your guard. He mounts you. It's like, screw this. Like, I want to, like, let me start smashing from the top again. And that's where you've got to stop and you've got to reassess. You go, no, I need to be here. I need to work on this. It's like, yeah, Jesse just kicked me in the face. It's because I dropped my hands or because I'm sitting still. Like, I need to work on this. I need to stop trying to go to the clinch. And whenever you're training, that's the time you have to work on that. I mean, it goes back to what Jesse said, like, knowing how to learn and how to get better.
Something that I wanted to say on the,
go ahead,
talking about getting better, and those increments, like, we learn how to get better outside of training and outside of the fight. So, you know, our lifestyle has changed. We are centered around fighting. It's the only thing that we think about. You know, we're during the day, we're recovering, we're getting our meals ready. We're studying, we're researching. We have people around us that are able to help us, you know, like his wife and my girlfriend. They cook for us. We have people around us who help us. So
support structure.
Yeah. I mean, we're structuring ourselves to be a fighter. We can't do this without other people and, you know, everyone helping us. So the people who say things to us, you know, good luck, things like that, it means way more than they understand, because without anyone saying those things, we wouldn't chalk it up to be what we are in our head. So what you think you are is what you are. You know, we're walking around thinking we're fighters. We're living this 24/7. It's the only thing we think about. When we wake up, we're ready to fight. When we go to sleep, we're thinking about recovering. So we're so dialed into we've just tried to figure out how we're supposed to do it. You know, that's the hard part is, you know, me and Dylan's life is very similar now, our schedules and things like that. So going to see Cron and the way he does it just has kind of helped us see how we actually have to be, you know, how much time we have to put in. We're talking.
How committed? You got to be committed. Like,
you got to be 100% about that.
24/7, like a doctor. A doctor goes to school for 8 years. Like, we're trying to be a doctor, you know, at fighting. So it's the same thing. You got to, people have to view fighting just like being a doctor. Like, they can't say he's a pro fighter. No, he is not a pro fighter. He does not live like a pro fighter. Okay. He's having a pro fight. He signed a contract to get paid and get beat probably.
Yeah.
But he's not a pro fighter.
Because it's the lifestyle. It's everything that leading up to the fight, and not just the fight itself.
We could not perform the way we do, you know, if we didn't, you know, have that 24/7 lifestyle. We're talking Saturdays and Sundays too.
I feel like I always try to say good luck and all that to y'all, but the number one way I feel that I help y'all is that it's kind of selfish on my part. It's like if it's like a week or 2 weeks before the fight, it's like I don't want to roll with them because I don't want to be the guy who breaks Dylan's arm in half because something crazy happens. You know, I was like, I'm gonna just let him roll with someone else. I don't want to mess up anything. I want to make sure that he's going in there fully prepared for his fight. But of course, it's always him trying to break my arm. That same little sneaky arm lock. It's usually this. If it's a, you know, 6 minute round, it's like a 6 minute war with me and Dylan. And then all of a sudden, the arm lock comes, and I'm trying to escape, and I'm like, God, crap! I just got to tap. But in between that time, it's a fun roll. At least, probably not for him. He's probably like, God, I wish this heavy motherfucker could get off me.
That's kind of how our fights go too. We end up drowning these guys because they can't hang with us. We put a pace on them they can't hang with, and that adds up late in those rounds. And that comes from our Blunchy workouts. We grind in the morning, man. Yeah. At 6:30.
But you know what else I think it is, and it's from when I travel, when I work for an oil company. And all the different schools I went to. I went to all different kind of schools all over the country. And one thing I realized is that a lot of these people didn't have the, I wouldn't say aggressiveness, but like the come after. Like, we're more cut your throat kind of way, I feel, at the school, in my opinion. Like, a lot of places, like, very, like, slap hands, like, giggling, and like, we're going to roll. Like, if you come to our school and think that you're going to be a hard ass, good luck.
Me and Dylan already have that mentality. Like, our personalities, we're fighters. I like to compete, and I don't want anybody to beat me at anything. So, and we have Blunchy who acts like that too.
Yeah.
So it helps. Those add up, and you know, yeah, you come in our school and get on the mat, you know, you're training with some high level guys who are trying to beat you.
Yes.
I like that. That's cool.
Like, if someone asks me, he's like, hey, do you think I should come on a Wednesday night or a Friday, like 4:30? I'm like, don't come at Friday at 4:30.
You can. You probably ain't going to train the whole class, though.
Yeah, because it's it's so intense. Like, I can't, I get nervous sometimes. It's like, oh, man.
Yeah, like Wednesdays before Nogi, that's nervous. You got 45 minutes of winner, winner, loser, loser.
But it's fun, though. It's like when you get done with it, you're like, I'm glad I was in that position where I felt like someone could just destroy me because...
You're out of mind for 45 minutes. That's cool.
Because you think about it, it's like this person on the street who just never really has done that, they can't quite understand. Like, if you've never gotten in a boxing gym and had someone spar against you and just whipping you, or go to a jiu-jitsu gym and you can't do anything and just like feel like you're drowning, it's even worse when you know how to do things, but it's still happening to you. You're like, I'm not terrible, but this guy makes me look extremely god awful. It's probably because I am terrible. But, you know, off the street, you don't get to feel that. You don't get to feel like what it feels like to have, you know, Blunchy chicken wing and you like breaking your arm in half.
Yeah, that feels real too. I mean, there are nights in the gym where, you know, you leave discouraged or you go home. You know, I go home crying sometimes, man. I'm so deep with this. I want to get better so bad that it hurts me every night. So. Yeah, it hurts.
Well, I tell you, for me in the last year is where I felt like I was making a lot of progress, but I broke my rib. Then I had my knee surgery, and I made a commitment to myself. It's like, as soon as I get back from the knee surgery, I want to be better than where I was before the knee surgery. But I kept all those injuries can make you like, man, what's the point? Why you get discouraged because you see all these gains and then you feel like you're out for 4 months and like, what am I doing?
But yeah, I mean, if you want, yeah, I had two surgeries on both of my shoulders back to back, and you know, that was before I even started fighting. Like, this was before, I mean, I had had a couple jiu-jitsu tournaments with the Army, but yeah, I mean, I know exactly what you mean, and I wasn't really deep then, so it was a different perspective, but at the same time, I was an athlete, and I knew what I wanted, and I knew what my goals were, and it's hard whenever you see, like, okay, I've got this, I'm doing this, I can do all these workouts, but then you go get operated on, it's like, you're set way back. And you just have to keep your goals in mind. I mean, honestly, that's the big difference I see. Because when I see people get injured, and I say injured, I'm not saying you sprained your ankle. I mean, you had your knee operated on.
Yeah.
That's an injury. Like, I had a torn labrum. Like, that was an injury. The difference between the guys that get past those injuries and continue to pursue their goals and continue to reach further, and the difference between the guys that get those injuries and never come back on the mat, or never get back to working out, is just how dedicated you are to the cause.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't do much like with a torn rotator cuff and whenever you're letting it heal, but I mean, I was one-legged pistol squats like throughout my rehab. Like I was finding ways to keep pushing and finding ways to maybe challenge myself mentally and do what I can physically, and constantly keeping in mind what I wanted once I got back from the rehabilitation. And I mean, I remember you coming up there with a knee brace on, and you'd go around Gorilla and you'd hit a little workout and you'd get what you could. And as soon as you could get back to running, I remember you started running again. I mean, you kept in your mind what you wanted.
Yeah.
And like you just said you wanted to come back better than you were before. Like, and that mentality, I think, is what it takes to come back from injuries.
And I remember, it was a few weeks after my knee surgery, and I was feeling good. You know, it was still a little wobbling, but then I hurt my, like, just, I pulled, like, I guess something in my rib. I don't know what it was, but it was almost as bad as when I broke it. I wasn't sure exactly what I did. I just remember I just got off the mat, and I just threw my gi on the ground because I was like, I'm sick of just being injured. I'm sick of being hurt. I'm tired of it. And it was just so frustrating that I almost like, I don't really want to do this. If I keep getting hurt, what's the point, you know? But I just made a commitment. It's like, okay, just let it heal. You know, it's like, I had to tell myself this. You got to wait. Wait a week. Don't go. Don't hurt it. Just give yourself some time and then come back whenever you feel like you'll be all right. And that's the only thing to get me through it, honestly. Without me, you know, if I didn't do that and didn't tell myself, okay, calm down, I gave myself like 5 minutes to feel sorry for myself, and then afterwards it's like, okay, this is what I need. This is what where the process needs to go, and then I'll pick it back up when I get there. But that's how I did it. Yeah. As a non-professional, anything
at the time, like even those little small injuries, like turf toe, or you know, you kind of tear something in your shoulder. Like me and Dylan train hurt all the time, so you learn how to train through those things, but at the time, it's the worst thing ever. Like, in your head, you're like, man, I'm not going to be able to do this or that, or I'm not going to be able to train this week. What's going to happen? But, I mean, we've been fortunate to not have injuries, thank the Lord, and
you knock on the table.
Blunchy, I think his workouts do a lot of that. You know, with the workouts, you know, we don't get as injured as other people. So, but at the time, it sucks so bad. You think you're going to be out, you think this, and it's negative. Like, it feels like the worst thing ever, but it goes by quick. And, you know, like, sometimes those things just happen. You need those things to happen, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, if you never had any kind of setback, I don't think you'll really learn anything from it. Sometimes you need to get caught in that arm lock. You need to get caught in this or whatever thing. You realize, like, you need someone to finally just put you in your place some days. Like, okay, maybe I'm not as good as I thought I was. But that makes me realize, like, okay, I was humbled, but now I can actually learn the correctly instead of with an ego. But I think we have about 6 minutes, so I figured we would just talk a little bit about the fights a little bit.
Yeah.
So,
questions?
What do you got?
Where are they located? Where's it going to be at on January 9th?
Monroe Civic Center.
Monroe Civic Center.
And we love fighting in the Civic Center because it's big. You know, there's a There's not a roof right over your head.
I've actually never fought at the Monroe Civic Center.
You haven't?
But he likes to.
Yeah. We're gonna teach Dylan the art of promotion.
I'm really excited. I mean,
Dylan's like, I hate that place. It's the worst place. No.
I mean, it's like it's big. It's big, and I remember my first two fights were at Fant Ewing, and that was big, and that was nice. Like, it was really nice. So I'm really excited to be there at the Civic Center.
When was the last time there were fights at the Civic Center like that?
I had a rear naked choke win at the Monroe Civic Center for, I wish I could remember the promotion, but.
GFA?
Could have been. They could have been involved with it somehow. I wish I could remember, but I was an amateur.
Hmm.
I remember the fight.
Monroe Civic Center. All right, do you know the times and everything like that?
Doors probably open at 6, fights probably open at 7. I mean, you can check on Facebook for that kind of stuff. Generally, you know, Saturday night.
Kylie sent me all this information.
Tickets are $25 this week. They will be $30 at the door. There are VIP seats, which is just a closer seat, kind of like right behind the tables. Those are good seats. I think the tables are sold out. I mean, you may be able to squeeze one in there if somebody wants to throw up some money, but y'all get y'all's tickets this week because I ain't trying to run around on Thursday. You know, I'm not running around on Thursday or even probably Wednesday, but y'all please get your tickets.
Can we get
you can
get
them
from
the gym. You can get them from me or Dylan at the gym. Just don't be complicated with it.
Jesse glanced over at Dylan.
He's just speaking from experience. I mean, get your tickets as early as possible. It makes it as easy as possible. It's just hard. I mean, and coming from us as fighters, I know exactly where Jesse's coming from because we're getting ready to weigh in. We spend all day cutting weight. It's Friday. We're ready to weigh in, rehydrate, and then our phone will blow up.
Hey, man.
With 40 messages of, hey, can we get tickets now and this and that.
It'll be like Saturday night, like 6. You'll get a Facebook message. Like, normally my phone's up by like 7 o'clock, but... Hey, man, you still got tickets? Like, dude, are you kidding me? Like,
I'm warming up right now.
Yeah, I got tickets. They're at the door. See that person in the window? It's charging 30. That's there. You get tickets, bro.
I'm wrapping my hands, listening to music, and my phone's blowing up asking about tickets.
Ding. Please tell me that's not happened.
No, yeah, 100%. God. I mute. That's why I've learned to cut off all notifications on my phone during fight day. That way I can listen to my music without having any interruptions.
You know, the worst thing is like, you have to do that. And I mean, I didn't have that problem, but I'm just saying, like, you know, people don't understand. People who've never been in the cage, and obviously my career wasn't good, but, you know, I understand what it's like. And you don't want any distractions. You don't want to have to worry about something else. You want to focus on the task at hand. I'm not worried about getting you freaking tickets.
But that being said, you can get tickets from me and Jesse. You can get them online. You can go to Guerrilla Fight Promotions. Follow the link on Facebook, and they have tickets available there as well. VIP, general admission, VIP is 45. General admission is 25 right now. And did you say we're out of VIP tables?
Maybe. I mean, if y'all are trying to buy a table, let me know. It's $1,000. You can contact me, and I will get you set up.
And y'all, if anything, Kylie,
y'all need to come watch local cage fighting. Like, you, the opportunity to get to come watch that is awesome, and you know, some of these fights are good. So it's the coolest thing ever live. You know, whether you enjoy fighting or not, when you go to these events, they're fun.
Yeah,
I mean, go drink, take a date there, bring some friends. It's cool.
And another thing I feel like Kylie and John do really well with Guerrilla Fight Promotions and FFC is they do really well at making it almost an educational experience for the sport. Like, I'm sure Jesse's fought in places, and when I go to the casinos, it's 21 and up only, can't have any kids there, nothing like that. But all these events that John and Kylie put on locally, it's all ages included. They want you to bring younger people, and they keep the music. They keep the music family friendly. Any song that they don't have heavy profanity songs like we were talking about in the beginning. Everything's censored and everything's geared towards educating the crowd on MMA.
Good, we're good. I was waiting for Dylan to finish up. I was gonna yeah. Go ahead. Give whatever shout out you need. Go ahead.
The Joint Chiropractic Clinic. they jumped on with me and Dylan here about a month ago, and you know, they're taking care of us. So y'all go check them out. They're in Monroe. They do like memberships for chiropractic work. They have some really good memberships, but go in there and get your back adjusted, get your neck aligned. It feels good. Just shout out to all my family and friends. I love everybody. My girlfriend Hannah, she keeps me in line, and I eat 3 meals at home a day. So that's our kitchen and our laundry room run
constantly.
That's a part of being a pro fighter too. Like, we got to go home and do clothes and food. That's not fun. I mean, it. I like it. I enjoy the food.
Anyone else you want to shout out, Dylan?
Comp guards for the sweet sick mouth guards. If they hook me and Jesse up with some of the best in the business, probably the nicest piece of equipment I have is the custom fitted mouth guard from them. It's super easy process. Hit them up on Facebook, Instagram. Iron Cactus for the sponsorship. Dr. Nick Lewing for the other sponsorship for both me and Jesse. He's been a huge, huge help for us the past 2 fights, really stepping in and getting behind us and what we're trying to accomplish.
Anyone else? Anything you got else, Dylan?
No, I think that's all right. Is that? I feel terrible for missing any other sponsors.
If you miss anyone, he still loves you.
Family, friends, my lovely wife Liliel for everything she does. I mean, Jesse talks about everything Hannah does. I feel like whenever her and Hannah get together, they probably just complain nonstop.
They probably bitch about how much we bitch.
Careful about this. They're going to be listening. All right, so we've got to the end of our time. Jesse, Dill, I'm glad. I'm happy to finally get you
on. Thanks for coming on.
I know it's kind of a hectic. Y'all are busy. We're trying to. We have jobs other than besides this. We try to work on it, but I'm glad that y'all did come on. What you got to say, Dylan?
Gorilla Fight Promotions, Crown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, John Blunchy's representative of Crown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, and Gorilla Fitness.
You forgot our
best shape of your life, Gorilla Fitness.
And you knew something was missing, but you finally got it. All right. You get no one else, nothing else. Okay, you haven't forgot anything.
Nah, that's it.
Okay. Dylan, Jesse, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, it was a blast. I enjoyed it.
Tim, at my coast as always, our 2-year anniversary for the podcast is coming up the 18th. We're going to try to have Basil and Drew back on because it's one of our funnest podcasts that we do because it's so silly. But that's a few days from now, and we appreciate everyone. And guys, we are done.